Well, good morning, everybody. I just really appreciate the opportunity to come today to speak to you, and I do want to thank my family for coming. You met my husband David in my introduction. Our friend Nicole is also with us. Perfect. And I have my two favorite students, my daughter Elizabeth and my son Porter. That was my first exposure to teaching, not counting Sunday school and VBS. We did homeschooling for 12 years, and so they remain my favorite students after all this time. as I was preparing, Pastor Kyle Corbin, our pastor there at Shiloh, asked me about 3 weeks ago if I'd be willing to come and speak today, and I said yes, and started praying, as you would if you're going to speak. And, you know, I'm just thinking about things and throwing stuff against the wall, nothing sticking, and I'm like, what the world? So one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, if you had only one topic to share with a group of believers, what would it be? And instantly I knew the answer. So I'm going to say my topic in just a second. Now, as a true teacher, what do you think when you see a teacher with one of these and one of those? What's about to happen? Writing. I'm going to ask a question. Who's going to give the answer? You. And then I'm going to write it down. All right? It's going to be pretty simple. All right, so when I say the topic for today, I want you to shout out the first thing that pops into your head, okay? So our topic today is forgiveness. What's the first thing that pops into your head?
Necessary.
Freedom, did I hear? And Jesus, the cross,
grace,
death. I was going to say, wow, he finds forgiveness very difficult. All great words. I love this one. Why could we say that forgiveness is necessary? Ooh, I love it. Anybody know the Bible verse for that? It's Matthew. The Lord's Prayer is Matthew 6, 9 through 15. And, of course, we all know in there it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it is absolutely necessary. Now, I didn't really want to thank you. I'm not going to use it a whole lot more, but if I do, it'd be nice if you can read it, right? today, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the necessity of forgiveness because my hope is that you already know that. As a group of believers that are following the Lord, no one should have to convince you or me that we need to forgive others when they trespass against us. If you have any problem with that, see me after. I did write down all the scriptures that command us to do it and the different circumstances in which we're commanded to do it. But the question is, what's the benefit for us if we do it? And on the other hand, what's the problem if we don't? So Jesus told the parable of the unmerciful servant. And the unmerciful servant was unwilling to do what? Forgive his fellow servant. And what happened to him? Ultimately, he ended up in prison. And who was he given over to when he went into prison? What does the Bible call them? The torturers, the tormentors. And they could have at that man until the debt was fully paid. Well, if I could get a volunteer, like maybe like my first favorite student. She was my first one. So, this is Elizabeth.
Hi.
Thank you, dear.
What are you going to make me do?
Well, let's pretend for a minute that Elizabeth is just a person average in the earth. Because, of course, she's not average. She's well above average because she's our daughter. But anyway, we won't go into all that. And she's just going through life. What are some of the things that could happen to Elizabeth that could hurt her or offend her or wound her? What are some things that could happen to her? Give me an example. What's something that could happen? I am. She could be abused. May I have your hands, please? Thank you. All right. What else could happen?
She
She could be betrayed. She could be betrayed. She could get her pronouns wrong. What else could happen to her in life that would hurt her? Someone could steal from her. What about it? She could get sick. Oh, that's an interesting one. What about, now she was fortunate that she didn't have to go through middle school in a public school. She did have a brother who took care of the teasing and the tormenting because that was his job and he did it well. And she to him, it was a two-way street. But she could have endured all kinds of bullying and teasing and whatnot in school. How about once she started work? Does anybody ever get teased or bullied at work? Oh, yeah. If they don't, they're kidding themselves. If they say, oh, nobody ever is mean at my office. Someone could lie about her and ruin her reputation. Well, we get the idea. As she goes through life, all kinds of things happen that bind her up. So now, Elizabeth, we're going to go back into praise and worship in a minute, and I want you to just raise your hands and worship the Lord. Could you do that? Why not? Just kind of that. She can still clap a little bit. So she's bound up, right? Totally bound up. So she needs a way of escape. Now, luckily, her mother came along with a nice sharp pair of scissors.
Those look really sharp.
They are.
They are.
And I've set her free just like that. Thank you, darling. You may go sit down now. So that was easy, right? Just a pair of scissors, clip, and she's done. But in reality, what does it take for us to get free when we've ended up bound up like that? Well, it takes forgiveness, practicing forgiveness. And would that forgiveness were that easy? But you know, sometimes it's very difficult. I love C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Right? Well, I want to give you an illustration. This actually happened to me. When I was in my early 40s, I ran headlong into the ramifications of not fully understanding forgiveness. Now, I was raised in a Christian home by devoted Christian parents. I not only saw the truth of the gospel from my Sunday school teachers in school, I saw it around the dinner table at my home. We did family devotions together every day. My parents were deeply devoted to the Lord. And I learned to say the Lord's Prayer when I was not much bigger than my son's little 13-month-old granddaughter. Got to plug that in. Well, she's his daughter. She's my granddaughter. But anyway. So when I was tiny, I learned to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I had some level of understanding about that, so that in my 40s, when something happened to me that was a deep, deep wound, probably one of the deepest wounds I've ever suffered in my life, I did the Christian thing right away. What did I do? I went to the Lord and I said, Father, I forgive this person. Right? Just like a good little Christian would, right? Well, there was just one problem with that. It didn't work. Like, it didn't take me one whole day to realize I am still just as angry as I was before I hit the floor and said, Father, I forgive. In fact, the anger kept building. And then I start this self-talk. Do you ever do this? I start this self-talk going, well, you call yourself a Christian? I thought you said you forgave. What are you still doing angry? And then the devil likes to pile on. If he realizes that that's how you're thinking, he's more than happy to come and whisper in your ear and go, you're right. You couldn't possibly be a Christian. Because if you really were a Christian, this would be done. This would be settled. You must not even be a believer. Well, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. My prayer is you never have. But in about probably 3 weeks' time of this kind of thought process going on in my head, I ended up depressed. Well, you don't know me well, but I'm not a depressed person. I'm always bubbly. I'm always happy, right? See, my family, they'll give me an amen there. I mean, pretty much. And so it was devastating to me. I went through about 6 weeks where the only reason I got out of the bed in the morning is because I had to school those two kids. There was no other reason for me to get up. And it was all because of what was going on in my head. Well, fortunately, my husband said, after some time, because this was probably really getting on his nerves, he said, "Have you had anybody pray for you, honey?" Well, that's a sign of how depressed I was, because I'm all about prayer and spiritual warfare. That I love that stuff. And it had never even occurred to me to get anybody to pray for me. So that Sunday, in obedience to my husband, only in obedience to my husband, I went up to the altar and received prayer. I had zero faith that it would work. I was so done. But you know what? It turned out the lady that prayed for me, God had given her an anointing to pray for people with depression. I didn't know that. And I was the first person she ever prayed for that had depression. And it took about 4 days, but the depression lifted. And right after that, we had a women's meeting. We were attending a different church at the time. We weren't at Shiloh. We had a women's meeting where the teaching was on healing, like the physical healing of your body. The woman who taught it is a wound care nurse, wound care specialist at MCV. And what I realized was I was treating a gaping emotional wound as if it were just a little scratch. And I was slapping these forgiveness band-aids on what was a gaping wound. And that little forgiveness band-aid, that quick thing, that was never going to fix it. Never. And right after that, David and I attended a workshop where we received this tool that I want to share with you, and I hope we have enough of them. Could I ask my two favorite students? I'm so glad you all came to give everybody one of those, please. Oh, me. So this tool that I'm going to put in your hands has revolutionized my walk with the Lord and my relationship with other people. And as a teacher, I know that when you distribute a handout, everybody's going to take a minute to read it. So before I talk anymore, go ahead and look at it. Take a quick glance through it. Do we have enough, Elizabeth? We need some back. And you can put Jim through the forgiveness prayer as soon as we go through it. There you go. She's got her first one to forgive. Oh, me. Everybody got one you can see? Now, I want to begin by giving credit where credit is due. This prayer was developed by Reverend Paul Morgan, who happens to be the pastor at the church that my children attend, and he was schooled in this by Dr. James Perry. So those two men are the one that the Lord worked through to create this prayer. And there's some components of it that I just want to go through, and you can give me my PowerPoint now, Lisa, when you get a second. I want to walk through, there are a lot of words on this page, and I want us to look at them kind of in steps. So the first step is, Father, in the name of Jesus. So there really isn't forgiveness any other way, is there? I can't forgive you unless I am supernaturally empowered to do that. I really can't. So we start off by acknowledging this is going to be, I'm praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. The next step is, boy, these are small. I should have blown them up. I forgive. And it says insert name. Okay? So sometimes it might take us a second to figure out, well, who is it I really need to forgive? It was interesting when we got this prayer, after we went through it, the Reverend Morgan asked us to get alone by ourselves in the room or in another room and just go through this prayer and forgive somebody. And I knelt at a chair similar to these, and I was so shocked when I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive." I was so shocked at the name that popped in. And it was my brother. I'm one of three children, and my oldest brother, I'm the middle girl between two boys, and my oldest brother had been murdered when he was 16. I was 14, and my baby brother was 12. And his name popped like that into my head. And I thought, what on earth? What could I possibly have to forgive him for? I mean, it wasn't like he took his own life. It wasn't like he was doing something reckless and had an accident and died. I mean, somebody murdered him, came into the store where he worked and shot him and killed him. But I decided that if I'm on my knees and I'm praying, I probably should listen to what the Holy Spirit says. So I forgave him. I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive David." Interestingly, I'm married to David, but David for dying. And I won't go into everything it opened up in me, but ask the Holy Spirit to show you, who is it I need to forgive? Because sometimes those things are hiding from us. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep stuff buried down that you say, "Oh, that was years ago. That didn't really affect me. It's not a big deal." The little illustration that Reverend Morgan put in here, the little box example, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for taking the hammer out of my hand and not allowing me to finish hammering the nail and for causing me to feel inadequate." That's a memory the Lord brought back to him from when he was, I think, 10 years old, that he and his dad were working on a project and he's trying to hammer the nail in as a 10-year-old, and his father took the hammer out of his hand because it was taking too long. And he finished it himself. But the Holy Spirit showed him, you need to forgive your dad for that. So that's the next thing. Be sure, ask the Holy Spirit, who do I need to forgive? And then be specific about what it's for. What do you need to forgive them for? What did they do? Did they lie about you? Did they steal something from you? Did they betray your friendship? Did they, again, be specific. Not just, "I forgive so-and-so for being a pain." Okay, we need to get a little more specific than that. All right, then, "and for causing me to feel." Now, I've struggled with that sentence for a long time because my belief is nobody can make you feel anything. You do get to choose your emotions. But Reverend Morgan has brought me over to his side to see that things that happen to us, our natural response, there's going to be a response. So what we want to do is be sure that we're really getting in touch with what happened emotionally when this wounding occurred. When I came into this prayer in my 40s, I was from a background where there wasn't a lot of emphasis placed on emotions. As a 40-year-old, I could clearly identify two emotions, anger and happiness. That was pretty much it. Well, if you look here, this list has way more than that. And that's because humans are capable of feeling way more than two emotions. But as you go through the list, you're going to tie what occurred to what you feel. And I would encourage you to touch either your belly or your heart as you do this. Now, in the West, we associate our emotions with our heart. We talk about getting our heart broken. The Bible talks about your kidneys, your loins, and science is backing the Bible up that the seat of our emotions is actually in our gut. It's not in our heart. And you know that if you get upset about something, it's probably going to affect your gut before it's going to affect your heart. So I encourage you to touch yourself in one of those places while you're doing the prayer, because it'll help you identify what these emotions are, what's been hurt. So, let me back it up. I love this remote. It's so fancy. So as you go through, you're saying, like in my example of my brother. "So I forgive David for dying and for causing me to feel abandoned. Boy, that one hit me like a ton of bricks. Because he was gone. Causing me to feel angry. Because he just disappeared. Like, I left to go to school, and that was the last time I saw him alive. And I was so angry about that. I was anxious because if it happened to him, it could happen to my little brother, or it could happen to my mom, or it could happen to my dad. And do you see, I'm going through. Now, I didn't feel like a failure. I didn't feel like a mistake. You may not, everything's not going to apply. But what you want to do is, again, making contact with either your heart or your gut, you're identifying, what did I feel then? Because we want to get it all out. Then we go to repent. Some people have a hard time with this next paragraph. Father, I repent for harboring in my heart these negative emotions of unresolved anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, and critical judgments against this person. Now, if I'm just forgiven the Walmart clerk because she was short with me and snapped at me, okay, I probably haven't been harboring a lot of stuff toward her. But if I'm forgiving somebody for something that happened when I was a teenager, yeah, I've probably got this. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you the degree to which you're holding on to unresolved anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, or critical judgments. I'm really good at that one. I can make a judgment like that. And I got to let that stuff go. Then we're going to release this person to the Lord. And this is where, you know, you've been identifying with your body. Well, now you want to lift up your hands for these next three sentences. Father, I now release this person to you, and I forfeit my right to seek revenge. I choose not to hold on to any anger, bitterness, or resentment. My hands are open. I'm emptying it. Lord, I now release these emotions to you, and that's all the emotions I've identified up here, and I ask you to heal my heart with your love. Now, here's a challenging one, and this is how you can know, yep, how well you're doing with forgiveness. Can you read this sentence? I desire to see and love this person the way you do, but I love the end of the sentence, through the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. There are some people that you and I can only love through Christ. It's just a fact. We wish it weren't true, but it is. So, especially if what you're processing through are some deep, deep wounds, the only person who can love them is God. But he's willing to give you his eyes to see them and his heart to love them. And then allow God to change you. That's what we're saying in the final sentence. Thank you for healing my damaged emotions. I do desire to be changed by your Spirit into the person of God you've created me to be. Now, the last thing down there. Now that I've given you these emotions, Father, what do you want to give me in exchange? So you've emptied yourself of a whole lot of baggage as you've gone through this. And what did Jesus say about that house that was swept clean and nothing was put in there to replace it? What happened? Seven bad guys came. Seven demons came and took over where the other ones had been. So we don't want to leave anything empty. Nature hates a vacuum. So does the spirit realm. Something's going to try to fill it. So where you've given up all these emotions to the Lord, open your hands before him and say, what do you want to give me in return? And I encourage you to close your eyes when you do that. Sometimes people will hear a word. Sometimes people will see a picture. Sometimes you might feel something in your body. I know when I was working through this prayer one time with Reverend Morgan, as he also is a counselor, when I released whatever it was I was releasing and I closed my eyes, I saw myself in a convertible with a red scarf blowing behind me, like going fast through the wind. I rode home from that appointment with all the windows down. I didn't have a red scarf, and I didn't have a convertible. But that was the picture that God gave me. And this was years ago. And you see, I still remember it just like it was yesterday that God showed me that. And that's what he wants to do. Another time he spoke to me, and he said, you are my sunshine. And 3 days later, I was out thrift store shopping with some girlfriends, and I found a little set of blocks for a baby's nursery. And guess what they said? You are my sunshine. So that sits on the dresser in my bedroom to remind me that that's what God thinks about me. I'm his sunshine. And that's something he gave me after I gave away all this negative stuff. So, any questions about the prayer? Does it make sense? All right, so we're going to try it out. But before we do, I'm going to encourage you. I have this prayer memorized. That's how often I say it. I sometimes have to look at the list of emotions. But the rest of it, I have it committed to memory. Because there have been some people that I've had to forgive over and over and over and over again. And sometimes that's because they've continued to offend me, but other times it turned out to be a much deeper wound than I thought it was going in. And the Holy Spirit just had to go deeper. But I'd encourage you to start with something easy. Like, since most of you all live in this area, like where there's real traffic, not just tractors and cows in the road, right? Like what we get out where we are. So you're going to have an opportunity before you even get home today, I almost guarantee you, to forgive somebody. Because somebody's either going to be too close, or they're going to pull out in front of you, or you're going to go out to lunch and the waitress is not going to be having a good day. There'll be some little offense that will happen to you before this day is over. Start using the prayer with a little thing. Don't go for some huge thing. Start with something little. And I like to think of it as muscle memory. You know, if you do an exercise repetitively enough times, eventually it just becomes second nature to your muscles. Well, this is going to be the same with forgiveness. The more you use that forgiveness muscle, the more automatic it'll be. I have to say, sometimes my husband annoys me just a little bit because his forgiveness muscle works even quicker than mine does. And he'll say, well, did you forgive him? So now I not only have to forgive whoever I needed to forgive, now I need to forgive him because he reminded me to forgive. You know, and again, I say that lightheartedly, but those are the little snares and barbs that the devil likes to throw into our daily life. And we prefer to just kind of push them away. But all that stuff is tying us up. And this is just one way to get rid of it. So I want us to take just a couple of minutes. If you want to get up and move to somewhere in case the person you're going to forgive is sitting close to you and you don't want to, you know, give them something to have to forgive you for later. But I just encourage you to take a minute. And the other thing, often when I've given this out to people, they go through and make check marks on the emotions. Well, that's fine, but if you do that, then it's muddied you up for the next time you want to use it. So if you feel like this is a tool you're going to use a lot, make a bunch of copies, you know. Keep one in the car, one in your Bible, one in your whatever. So let's just take a minute and let's pray first, and then we'll just see what God does. Father, we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Because it's only because of his cross that he paid the debt. Freely we've all been forgiven. And Lord, we choose today to make a commitment to freely forgive. Holy Spirit, we trust you to show us when we need to forgive. Help us not to be those who just roll past things and say, oh, that was no big deal. Open our eyes to see when the woundings come so that we can quickly bring them to you. Father, we don't ever desire to end up like that unmerciful servant who had completely lost sight of the grace that had been poured out upon his life. We want to be those who are always quick to hear you as you speak to us, Holy Spirit, and quick to move in forgiveness. Father, I pray for each person in the room right now that, Lord, if there's someone they need to forgive, you'll just highlight that person to them. And you'll help them to trust you to heal the woundedness that came from the hurt. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So just take a minute. Father, I thank you for each person here. And I bless them in their journey of forgiveness. Father, I thank you that you are never finished refining us. You are never finished bringing us from glory to glory. You are never done revealing Christ to us. So, Lord, I just bless them. I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus, that as they go forth to be more deliberate, more intentional about forgiving, that, Father, they will find just a wellspring of freedom bubbling up in their lives, just as someone said earlier. They'll just find that you are amazing. In just another way, they know it in 100 ways already, but I thank you that you're going to reveal yourself as they practice forgiveness to be even more amazing than they ever knew. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.